Hi. Hello. Should I do it like that, like a male Siri?
Yes.
Hello.
Do it like Siri.
Hi. Hello. Should I do it like that, like a male Siri?
Yes.
Hello.
Do it like Siri.
This is Kurt Bachman from Believer. What am I saying now? And you're listening to what, my version or what?
My chapter
of As the Story Grows. Okay. Hi, this is Kurt Bachman from Believer. Beer Lever, and you're listening to my chapter from As the Story Grows. Is that right?
It's close enough.
All right. And then what's the other one?
Okay, the second one's going to be, hi.
Hi.
My name's Kurt Bachman. I'm Kurt Bachman of Believer, and you're listening to my first chapter of As the Story Grows.
Oh, hi. I might cut this okay. In half. Hi. Hello. Hi. This is Kurt Bachman of Believer, and you're listening to my first chapter of As the Story Grows.
What would you say you do here?
Have a good time all the time.
Who's got it better than us?
Nobody!
What in God's holy name are you blathering about?
Well, I'll tell you what I'm blathering about. I've got information, man.
I want you to be realistic.
What do you love about music?
Man being realistic.
As the story grows.
You got this, Travis. Make him wait for it. Boom.
Right,
thanks for bailing me out. I forgot my power cord.
Dude, no problem. this is what we do here.
I'm going to glance at my phone on occasion. So yeah. A few ideas.
Well, this is only the guitar room, right? And bass. And we do some keys, but that's mainly here for ideas. And
we're in the guitar wing of the Bachman Estate.
We call it the KB Antimatter Room.
It's too scientific for me.
Well, this is where everything like collides and then annihilates itself, and then we change everything.
So, and then you change it all
this
anyway.
This is the room where we make changes.
Right.
And argue and, you know.
Lived here?
I have lived here 10 years this year.
You moved from out where Joey lives, right? Lancaster.
So no, I was in Baltimore. Yeah, so I was in Baltimore for about, what was it? Oh, geez. 13 years? Something like that. Originally, it's from near Hershey, Pennsylvania. That's where Joey and I kind of met mm-hmm. and started everything when I was in high school, and then through the the Believer days, the early Believer days, and then I went back to school, went to Baltimore, and then came up here about 10 years ago.
Wow,
came back here about 10 years ago. Yeah.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
No, it's all right.
This is usually like Quentin Tarantino'd and kind of the timeline moves around. Yeah. Everything. But it's not live, so who cares? We can do whatever we want.
Exactly.
But normally how I do this is, have you listened to any episodes before?
I have. I think, well, Doug Mann was just here, right? So I think we checked his out.
Doug Mann was here?
Yeah, he visited, what was it? Not last weekend, the weekend before he was here.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Flew Doug in.
Oh man, I didn't know that.
Yeah, Doug's actually
he could have brought me a painting.
He's doing some work for us. Yeah, he brought me in. He brought me one.
Right on.
Yeah, I have one of his two upstairs.
Like cool.
One of his bigger canvases or whatever. But no, he was here visiting, reconnecting. He's helping us out with some of the marketing stuff and strategies. And
that's awesome that he's involved in
it. Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
How did I do with the REX questions?
It was really good.
Dude, no. I didn't know.
He even talked about that. I mean, he was like, he was like, look, I'm just going to, this is the only time I'm going to do it. And, you got it. So that's good.
Yeah.
And no, he was totally into it.
He was rad.
He was fine. Yeah. Yeah.
Bruce Fitzhugh hooked me up with that.
Yeah.
He was like,
yeah.
I know how to get a hold of him. So.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, oh, my God, I never thought to talk to him.
Yeah.
It was cool. It was really cool.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He's a good dude. Yeah, I stayed in touch. I haven't talked to him in a while, but we stayed in touch here and there. And
yeah, we had a good time. He flew in on, it was like Friday like afternoon, and then he bolted like Sunday afternoon. But so, yeah, we actually had a Believer beer tap takeover event that Friday evening, which was great for mm-hmm. him to be a part of, and at this restaurant in Reading or Shillington or something like that.
Right.
And so that was really cool. I mean, he got to experience a lot of that. He got to experience a lot of the new tunes, and it was good.
Right.
We had a good time.
Man,
he's excited about everything. Yeah.
Getting the old crew back together. That's
pretty
cool.
Much. Yeah.
And I have to thank you for inviting me out to the Believer.
Oh, yeah.
The dinner thing, too. That was amazing. That was so much fun.
It was a good time.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got great feedback from that. And there was a lot of people there that haven't seen each other in like 15, 20
years. I saw lots of people I don't know do the full extension, oh, my God, eyebrows up, arms out,
yeah.
and hug each other like they hadn't seen each other in 30 years. And my buddy Josh and I kind of looking at each other like, man, I feel kind of out of place.
Yeah,
man.
No, it was really cool. I mean, it was great to see a lot of people and just to get people reconnected again.
Right.
We were surprised. We thought, we wanted to provide like hors d'oeuvres and all of this stuff. And it was like, we figured, people probably stay like an hour or something like that, then bolt or whatever. It was like everybody was there for like the whole time. I was like, I felt bad afterwards. I was like, maybe I should have got dinner for everybody,
Right.
But I mean, the restaurant did a great job. People were ordering dinner and stuff like that,
right.
Which was cool if people wanted it.
We didn't know what to do. We were like, the funniest part, I have to tell you this story. Yeah. The funniest part was we were kind of like, I'm totally cool with buying dinner, but I don't know if dinner is provided or not. So I'm not going to go order a dinner and then have them come around.
And provide it,
So I kind of waited and dragged my feet. And I'm like, dude, I'm drinking. This beer is amazing. I'm getting lightheaded. I haven't eaten since like something o'clock,
Yeah.
I'm finally going to go get hors d'oeuvres, right?
Yeah.
And Josh is like, all right, me too. So we're sitting all the way in the back because, you're supposed to sit all the way in the back.
Because
I don't want to like sit next to somebody's mom or something.
No, it doesn't matter, yeah.
So we decided to go up and get a couple of hors d'oeuvres. And that's when you and Joey got up and started your whole thing. Tink, 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 thanks for coming. And we were like, son of a bitch. So we're standing there just like, I
that's
bet everyone
awesome.
Was like, who are those two dudes? And we were like,
that's awesome.
It was
no, please.
So, okay. This is I'm not gonna get douchey on you, but
sorry,
dude, Believer.
You can, yeah.
You're in a band called Believer, right?
I am.
I have been listening to Extraction from Mortality since probably about 20 minutes after it came out. Right?
Okay.
I'm a long time fan.
No.
I was a little kid. I know it sucks. It's so bad.
I haven't listened to that in probably 20 years.
It's a good album. You should check it out. Pretty good. This is like a white elephant in the Christian thrash music.
Sure.
Back then, my big four, everybody has the big four. We all know who they were, but there's also this other smaller element out there whose big four were Believer, Tourniquet, Deliverance, Vengeance, right, or whatever. Or Crucified, yeah. I guess, is a big five, you know? And I'm kind of just gathering all my pebbles together and talking to everybody that is still, you know, attainable. Yeah, you know? And this is cool. This is really, I really appreciate you. Yeah. I mean, I'm sitting in his house right now, everybody who's listening. He invited me to his house. He's giving me beer. He's
a gracious host.
gonna feed me a magnificent meal and pay me money later. No?
Yeah, we're gonna I'm making a roasted cauliflower soup with grilled corn. Yeah.
Oh, are you vegetarian?
No, but it's awesome soup. Oh. Kevin, we just love it. I made it a year ago. And everybody liked it so much that I'd make like double batches. So this is the first time this year I'm making it. So
I hate cauliflower, but
you'll like this.
I'll try it.
It doesn't taste like cauliflower.
Okay.
It's like I puree everything, so it's like a cream soup.
Okay.
There's like very no cream. It's like the roasted cauliflower. So
I'm in.
And it's like curry and cumin.
Okay.
And Indian type of.
I'm in. Yeah. All right. I'll do
it. We'll make other stuff like chicken and sausage.
That's fine. Whatever. It's cool. But this is real. This is kind of a big deal. It's kind of like this weird combination of I'm not fanboying, and at the same time, if you have the five albums, you take to the island, you know, that kind of thing. It's still, you know, this is kind of a big deal to talk to you. So I appreciate it. I really do. I just wanted to let you know.
No, I mean, I it's cool that you want to do this. I mean,
right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
So my induction with Believer was like. When did Extraction for Mortality come out?
89, I think.
89,
yeah.
So you guys were like a half a step behind some other stuff.
Yeah.
Right. So I wasn't allowed to listen to certain things because I came up in that kind of a home. And we'll get to that sticky religious stuff. Oh, yeah. Yeah, gloves are coming off, dude.
That's okay.
I don't give a shit anymore.
We never felt comfortable in that.
Yeah, I'll bet. I'll bet.
At all.
We're going to get to that. Yeah, But there were some certain things that I was and wasn't allowed to listen to. And I listened to the stuff I wasn't allowed to listen to anyway, you know. But Believer was...
you were allowed to listen to us?
Because we found you in a Bible bookstore.
Before we got banned?
Sure. Before you got banned. Right. That's how early I was in. So like that's what I'm saying. If you came out in 89, I was there like, I think I heard your album probably within a couple months of it coming out.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I had absolutely no idea. Like, I was too young of a kid to understand, like, excuse me, I'm drinking all this beer. I'm burping now. Where you were located.
Yeah.
You were all from LA or New York, as far as I know. Because I'm just this dumb kid, you know?
Yeah.
But as I started listening to all those other bands, I started hearing the East Coast and West Coast stuff. And then there's Living Sacrifice that was just thrown into the middle.
Yeah.
Who I kind of collected more to my side, you know?
Yeah.
But you guys, Haven.
Oh, yeah, Haven. I produced one of their records.
I know you do. I know. I can't get Kevin to talk to me.
I haven't spoken with those guys in a long time. I just remember like Doug asking me if I would produce one of their records. Cause we were doing shows in LA and California. So I just basically flew to Iowa, the studio in Iowa to do the record. Mm-hmm. And I think Doug was there too. My memory for some of that stuff is like fried.
Sure. Fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, you know, it was interesting because, you know, with us signing with REX, it was a way to get stuff out there. But, you know, it wasn't just the thing that attracted us was it was, you know, Doug was not just about this like Christian music scene distribution. Right. Because we didn't care about that necessarily.
Right? OK.
I mean, it like kind of took off and stuff like that. But it was a little bizarre for us. I mean, I think like once we, you know, once Sanity came out, I was on Roadrunner and, you know, and everything like that, that was kind of where we wanted to be from the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we felt very uncomfortable. Like we knew the people, in some of the bands, and we became friends with them. Like, I mean, like when we were playing shows or whatever, I mean,
Sacrament,
LS, you know, yeah. Like the Sacrament guys. I mean, we kind of discovered them and,
yeah, right.
And Circle of Dust. And, you know, I signed, you know, Clayton and, I was doing like A&R for Doug and
you signed them to REX. Okay.
Yeah, and,
right.
And, You know, and then like Living Sacrifice and some of these guys that were, you know, just really good musicians.
Heard of them.
And stuff like that. Yeah. So it was, you know, and it was a blast. I would say outside of that, of that, you know, little clique, we were pretty much outsiders all the time. We felt very uncomfortable. We never considered ourselves part of that market, so to speak. It was there. I think, you know, but we never felt like we were in comfortable in that skin or anything like that. It was a different.
All right, let's get into that then.
Different world.
Yeah, but Extraction had like scripture references in it and stuff.
Well, we did a lot. I mean, remember? I mean, we were listening to Four Horsemen from Metallica. We were listening to a lot of stuff, right?
Yeah.
And
didn't you guys get in like trouble for having photos shot with Sepultura t-shirts?
Oh yeah. I mean, well, so that was the thing. I mean,
is horse shit because all of us were listening to them.
Exactly. People were picketing our shows. Like Christian groups were picketing our shows. A lot of that, and so. You know, and that was why, you know, our beliefs were always like, you know, you're an individual, that's it. It's not like part of a group. We never felt being like, I'm part of this movement or whatever, especially when it came to kind of beliefs, right?
Okay.
And that's why, you know, we always talk about people making up their own minds and, you know, it's an individual's journey and wherever that faith takes you, you know what I mean? And, you know, is yours. I mean, it's nobody else's. It's nobody else's to judge. It's nobody, you know, and that's kind of the way we felt. So we never felt comfortable being like assigned, you know, a certain type of system or religion or whatever you want to call it.
So REX made sense.
Yeah, because it
wasn't Dougie's about not like that.
No, Doug's not like that. And it made total sense, right?
Right.
And so, but again, we had nothing against it. You know, we played Cornerstone, played shows. You know, but I mean, we weren't like that prototypic band that people associate with that market.
Got it.
And so that led to all the picketing and it led to all of this like
Tell me about that stuff. I never heard this.
Magazines were like, it was funny because like magazines, like people would write into magazines, they would like be shredding us. And then like the other fan base would like come to our rescue. Like we never had to answer anything ourselves because it was like fans would do that work for us. It was pretty cool. But I mean, for us, we didn't want to answer it first because it was creating dialogue. And that was really important to us.
Okay.
You know, even like lyrically now, like, you know, I know you and I have talked about this, you know, what is a song about? And we never really come out and blatantly say this is what it
is. Yeah.
Because I mean, it means something to us and we don't want to like blow other people's like visions. Like when they're listening to a song, it may attach certain memories to them.
Absolutely.
Or certain feelings.
Yep.
And we don't want to blow that, right? We don't want to come out and say, this is what it means.
Because
then it tanks it for the listener.
Yeah.
And you know, and same thing kind of with the belief system or whatever and our beliefs, like, yeah, I know what I believe and that's all that matters is what I know.
Right.
Does the world need to know? No. I mean, why? I mean, it doesn't, for me, it's like,
We've been told from the early induction that you're supposed to put on a sandwich board and tell everyone if they don't think exactly like you do that they're going to hell.
Yeah, they're wrong. Yeah. I know. And so that always bothered us, right? So
it should.
Trust me, it's like, yes, I mean, we've been going to hell the entire time, right?
Good. Okay. See you there.
Yes. You know, and that's fine. I mean, if people want to feel that way and stuff like that, I have nothing against it. I'm not going to argue with people. If they say, you know, look, you're wrong, but that's fine. That's their opinion. That's their prerogative. I'm not here.
Yeah.
I'm not.
I actually hope those people aren't listening.
That's fine.
Because I don't feel like dealing.
You'll deal with it. Yeah.
But
you'll deal with this.
That's fine. Yeah. But like going back to like scripture references. Stuff,
yeah.
I remember specifically I bought Extraction on cassette.
Yeah.
I wasn't a vinyl guy till later. So I remember the font being. I've spoken about this on the podcast before. The font was so small.
I know.
That I know. What are you gonna do? It's squeezing on that little index.
Money.
Card. I know, right? I actually was like reading the lyrics with like a magnifying glass or whatever you can find to blow it up, right?
That's awesome.
And would cross-reference everything. Not that I'm verifying or double-checking or anything, but I'm like, just in case this comes up, how can you listen to a band that sounds like this?
Yeah.
And well, I'll tell you. Yeah. So, right here in Luke 13, blah, 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 or whatever, you know?
So we were, I mean, it's funny because...
Was that your decision to put in?
I was always, you know, like, I was always kind of the nerd, science guy, geek, or whatever.
Yeah.
I always believe in references, right?
Good.
And to the point, I mean, you know, as subsequent records, you know, this one is more, like, Transhuman in this, we put in some references in Transhuman in the sleeve. The mind, you know, brain podcast stuff, some of the books, the Einstein quotes. That we actually got permission from the Einstein Institute.
Right on.
And they corrected some of them for us. We got an official letter saying that, yes, you can use, you know, this in Transhuman. Metal Blade was, like, blown away. They're like, whoa, bands don't do this. Like, you guys are amazing. Like, this is crazy. you guys are nuts. But it was one of those things where, you know, we wanted to give people credit. We wanted to reference things all the time. I mean, we referenced in, I think, Dimensions or Sanity. I think there's some references to, you know, certain physics stuff and, you know, psychology stuff and, you know, psychology books and, and things like that. And, you know, we always wanted to kind of give that credit where our heads were at and what we were kind of, you know, delving into and stuff. We felt that would be very important. So the references was always kind of like a big deal to us.
Bibliography.
Yeah, well, that's what it was.
Yeah, man.
Because it's like, you know, look, we're not coming up with all these ideas ourselves.
Sure,
you know,
sure.
These are influenced by other people's, you know, writings or ideas or, you know, and stuff like that. And we're just exploring them. And, you know, if anybody else wants to explore, like, transhumanism, you know, for Transhuman, you know, we had all those references and and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just kind of like where our heads were at. And this is where we kind of got our, you know, that kind of underlying influence and direction, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so we did that a lot. Yeah,
is when you say we is Believer more of your how do I word that is like lyric?
Am I in charge? No.
Well, I mean,
definitely not. Doesn't feel that way.
I don't mean in charge like business decision, but I mean as far as like, you know, artistic vision, lyrically, everything. Obviously, it's balls in your court.
Well, so I mean, it's interesting because I think, you know, yes and no. I mean, there was always a lot of, I mean, I was never like lyrically, for instance. I mean, I think Doug even helped write some stuff on Dimensions and
really,
yeah. I mean, I was never like I'm writing all the lyrics. Nobody else is. I mean, a lot of the lyrics, you know, for Extraction. Especially Extraction was, you know, Dave wrote a lot.
Okay.
And, you know, when other people write them, I'm fine with that because, I mean, but I have come in, sometimes I change them, certain vocal passages or, you know, like how I end a sentence, like vocally or something like that.
You
like,
change yeah, this for the cadence, for the so cadence, to speak. Right. I understand.
Feel and,
sure.
You know, whatever that may be. So I'll change some of those things. Like if somebody comes to me and they got lyrics and there's like 50 million like words in one line, it's like, yeah, you know, let's paraphrase.
Let's cut that up. Right.
So there'll be some of that. Recently, like with Transhuman, Gabriel, and the new stuff, a lot of the lyrics are Jeff and I.
Okay.
So yeah, Jeff and I will sit here and we will just brainstorm about, like, we'll have an idea, we'll come up with a concept, you know, what the kind of, it's kind of almost like, you know, writing for, I would say for the last like two albums at least, it's kind of like writing a movie, and these are, you know, these are scenes that we're doing, and so we incorporate that in. We have this kind of vision of what the movie would be, and then we, you know, what the underlying theme is, what we're talking about, and then we start putting all of that together lyrically per song. And yeah, we like to go in with kind of an overall vision or strategy for the, you know, what is this song? What are we, you know, what's the underlying thing? And then we'll start writing lyrics around it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
So I'm not a microman. I don't know. These guys would say I'm a micromanager. I don't think I'm a micromanager. I think I've gotten better at it. I think I used to be more of a micromanager.
Okay.
You know, but I really started letting that go. I think when Jeff and Kevin especially joined the band, it was more, you know, these guys are bringing totally different ideas and stuff like that. And I want to be open to them. And I want to be, I remember the one keyboard part on Mind Steps from Transhuman. Jeff comes to me and he's like, yeah, I wrote this keyboard part, but I think you're going to hate it. I think you're going to think it's so lame for the end. And so I'm like, come on, dude, just play it. Let's just, let me hear it. Right. So he played it and I was like, I love this. I love it.
Really? It's
going in the song. It is, this is happening. And for these guys, you know, I wanted to kind of create that environment of let's just all work together. Let's bring ideas, you know.
Sure.
You know, we'll talk them through. We can argue about them. You know, just because I think it's good for the song or I don't think it's good for the song doesn't mean it is. You know, let's get gotcha. Some opinions and gotcha. Stuff like that. And so that's why I think the new stuff is really awesome because, I mean, not awesome as far as like, do people like it? Is it, are they good? But I think just the process is awesome.
You're not going to do the, this is the best stuff we've ever done. Okay. Cause everybody does it.
Process wise. You know, I think it's been a lot of fun because we're doing this real time. We decided to do these releases. And like I said, like the next release, 3 of 5, it's not done yet. And we're tweaking stuff still.
That is interesting. Yeah. I was going to ask you about that.
As
if,
we hear
if you have 10 songs recorded, what the hell are you waiting for?
Nope. As we hear the mixes.
Okay.
And things like that, we will alter things. We you know, so it's going to be really interesting. I mean, I think it'll sound at the end of the day, sonically, it will definitely sound like one record when we put it all together and put it out as one record.
There is an eventual end game.
Yeah, there's an end game. There's a plan.
Is there an album title for this yet?
Plan. There's working titles, but not, we haven't settled.
Okay. But I mean, it's going to be a onesie thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. Gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. And gotcha. But it is fun. I mean, it's a blast doing this and, you know, it allows us to throw in curveballs and we're kind of at that stage where we're like, you know what? Like, let's do that. People are going to hate it. Let's do that. Or, I mean, honestly, we had contests ready to go before we put out Home and 888, before we did those two, because those were definitely not our heavier songs.
Like, I like 888.
Yeah,
that's my favorite one of the four so far. You. Yeah,
and so when we were putting those out, we had these discussions about, well, let's have a an online, contest to see who could come up with the most creative reason why I hate the New Believer. You know, it can't be like, oh, the lyrics aren't good, or it's not heavy enough. It can't be like something lame. It's got to be like really creative, right?
Okay,
it made my dog have diarrhea. You know, So it's like stuff like that, right? So we, and I think, yeah. And then, we put those out and it was like, we're like looking at the responses and the reviews and we're like, okay, like nobody's hating this. This is weird. But I think it was a general shift in, our very small fan base. I mean, just their attitudes and the maturity, musical maturity, so to speak, to say, and the expectations of Believer. It's like they know to expect the unexpected, basically, at this point. So there's no, like, judgment. I mean, there's still those people out there that are like, why aren't you doing Sanity 2? Why aren't you, still overt thrash and all of this stuff?
Right.
And I think, if we wanted to be, paying a lot of the bills and stuff like that, we would have just stuck with thrash. That would have paid our bills. We could have made more money doing that.
Right? Okay.
This is, I mean, what we did is based on, music and what we want to play, what we want to try, and how we want to push ourselves musically rather than making money. If we wanted to make money, we would just be doing thrash. We would have never verged from Sanity, ever.
Muhammad Ali said, if a man at 50 years old still thinks the same way that he did when he was 20 years old,
yeah,
he wasted 30 years of his life.
Well, exactly.
And that dude got punched in the head for a living.
I know. It's a great quote. And I think, you know, for us, it was, like I said, if this was a business, we would be making far different decisions because it would be business decisions.
But you got a day job.
Yeah, it wouldn't necessarily be artistic decisions.
Right on.
I mean, I think there's bands that are, you know, that are amazing that have made artistic decisions and they're still doing really well. I think that's far and few between, right?
Mm-hmm.
When you have a formula, that's what your fans want to hear. You can diverge a little bit from it, but don't diverge too far.
Gotcha.
That turns everyone off. And it's funny because, like, some people will say, like, even for transhuman people are like, oh, they sold out. Sold out. Sold out means you're, like, selling out to make money. This was the exact opposite. This was about we're doing this and we know we're going to, like, lose an enormous amount of money.
Interesting that selling out would have been sanity, too.
Yeah. That would have been selling
out. People don't observe it that way.
Oh, I know.
Because I didn't think of it like that. Oh. Like, I'm not, like, I guess I'm that fan that's like, am I going to bitch if Metallica makes Master of Puppets again?
Yeah, right.
No. But they're not gonna?
No, because it's Master of Puppets. It's Master of Puppets.
Sure, and I already have Master of Puppets, exactly. So I'm good, dude.
Yeah.
Like, Disposable Heroes is always gonna rule. I don't
have to...
Exactly. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So, I do kind of want to hear what else they got under their belt. And some of their stuff landed like a wet fart, and other stuff was like, you know what, that's a great rock song. I'm cool with that.
No, exactly. I mean, and you've seen this. I mean... Yeah, I mean, you've seen it with a lot. Rush, I mean, they did tons of this, right? When they introduced keyboards, people were freaking out.
You know what I mean?
I mean, but it's one of those things. Those bands, I mean, they make it work, and you know, but I think for us, it was, again, like, it's a great example. I think you put it, it's like, selling out would have been sticking with sanity. I mean, just going and just doing a bunch, like, four more Sanity Obscures.
Right.
That would have been selling out.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if that's what we wanted to do as a business, that would have been a good business decision. I'm not cutting on bands for doing that. Mm-hmm. I think if that's their career, they need to do that.
Sure.
I mean, unfortunately, they need to do that. But you see other bands. Let's see. A good example is like Schmier for Destruction, right? You know, he's got his other band. It's like more of a metal band. He's like using, you know, like he's using more melody in his voice. Stuff like that. Then he's got Destruction. And so... You know, he's got an outlet there. And a lot of people said, you know, why didn't you change the name of the band?
Mm-hmm.
It's not Believer. Believer is thrash and technical thrash, stuff like that. But for us, it was, you know, and Schmier, I could totally understand, like, you know, just form another band. You know, it's different members and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Excuse me. So I think, you know, for us, it was just more about, we're just putting stuff out. This is us. It's still the same members and stuff. And it is a horrible business decision. But... We are not in it for that, right?
We
just want to put out stuff that we enjoy playing that really pushes us musically. I mean, when we started having some sections in 4/4 timing, that was really difficult for me to write. It was really difficult for me to just write chords and not like a bunch of technical noting stuff and different things. That took me a long time to settle into, can I write something that's straightforward?
Because
it's always been, you know, odd times. I mean, there's a lot of odd times on the new stuff, but I think we're getting better at people don't feel like it's an odd time.
Right.
And that I love.
Very Soundgarden.
Oh, like when
you're
when,
selling fives and sevens all over. No one feels it.
Nobody feels it.
That's great.
I love that. Right?
Yeah, that's cool.
And I love to hear like people going, yeah, this isn't as technical as your other stuff. So mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, that's great. That's what we want to hear.
Yeah, you perfect.
Perfect. So, yeah, so it's, but yeah, I mean, that's, we're just having fun.
Good.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that. That's a solid answer, man. I mean, how old were you when Extraction came out?
18. I just graduated high school.
How old are you now?
47.
How the hell does a 47-year-old put out that album with what that person was going through at 18 years old?
Yeah.
Not that you, I mean, you know,
yeah,
like what you were going through.
Everybody else was older than I was, by the way. I was the young boy.
Oh, gotcha.
The band.
Okay.
Well, I was the young pup.
No one's younger than Joey.
Well, yeah, whatever. He's the old man.
I don't know, man. He's going to outlive all of us, man.
Joey approached me when I was in seventh grade, says, I heard you play guitar. We're just starting this band. He's in like 11th grade or something like that. So that's when we started kind of getting together in different bands.
The 11th grader
yeah.
approached the 7th grader.
Yes, I heard you play guitar. I heard you're pretty good. I think I told this at the Brewfest. So he comes to pick me up at my house. I've been driving. He's driving, right? He's got long hair. He's got ripped up clothes. He's jacked
up. Was he driving or did he pick you up on a bicycle?
No, he was driving. Okay. I told my mom, I'm like, why would you let me go? When he knocked on that door, he's like, I'm here to pick up your son. Like, why would you, what was, it was funny because my mom at that beer fest, at the Believer beer thing, like, right. She was like, oh, I wish I would have had a chance to talk. Cause she's like, she's like, I took a risk, but Joey became my second son.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yes. And,
he's a rad dude.
So
Joey's a great guy.
It was cool. And, I was the young pup. Anyway, finish your, I was in high school.
No, it's fine. I'm just saying, like, I feel like an 18-year-old, with all due respect to Kurt, 18 years old, hasn't been through jack shit yet.
No.
I mean, you've been through what 18-year-olds go through.
Yeah, high school stuff, yeah.
Right. A 47-year-old trying to go back and be like, all right, let's do Extraction again so we can pay some bills.
Yeah, I know.
You're faking it.
Well, it's interesting because it's like, we have thrash songs, like, in the bag.
Go on.
I mean, we've got a lot of stuff. I mean, we can. It's not that we can't play that or write it. It's easy.
Sure.
Right? I mean, if I had to write a thrash album, I could probably get it done in a couple hours. Honestly.
Right on.
I mean, that is like, that's like, you know, riding a bike, getting, you know, not riding a bike for a
year. Are you busy after this podcast? We can get to work on it right now.
But it's like, I mean, that stuff is, that for me to write that stuff is like second, you know, that's easy.
Okay.
You know what I mean? It really is. I mean, and because that's what we did a lot. That's how we trained and, you know, in that stuff.
It's what you came up on. It's in there.
Exactly.
It's just, it's in our blood. We can do that all day.
Right. Yeah. So I think for us, it's, you know, that's kind of the easy stuff. I mean, even for Joey, I know, you know, I don't want to totally speak for him, but it's been really hard for him to let space there.
Mm.
He's been mine was writing straight forward rhythms and stuff like that. Not that I am, but
right.
It's a little different. Not being so notey, you know, holding out chords, being on chord. His was space filling and you know, we wanted space.
Right.
We didn't have to fill everything. We didn't want to feel like we had to fill everything. You know, sometimes space and dropping things down. We really wanted to work on dynamics. And he had a very hard time on Transhuman and some of these to not fill space. He was, I mean, it really wrecked him for a while.
Hmm.
He thought, I have to fill everything. I got to be busy. And we were like, dude, it's too much. It's too much. Doesn't, you know, we don't need that for the song. And
that's interesting because he wasn't like that on the Fountain of Tears album.
No. Well, that was the thing because that was a different band. He did a decent
job kind of leaving that open.
A different thing.
Did he feel obligated?
It was me playing now, right?
It's Believer. I got to, as Kurt's playing 30 second notes, I got to fill them all.
I think it was something like that.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, but he really worked on that and he's, you know, he's gotten much better, you know, at it and doing some straight stuff and, you know,
he still does. Yeah, he does straight stuff. But as a drummer, he does some stuff that also surprises me that this is the dude who came into this listening to like Youth of Today.
Mm-hmm.
And he can't like he was Believer's punk side.
Yeah,
obviously. I mean, some of the pictures. Oh, yeah. And for him to like do some of the stuff that he's doing, there's a lot of growth there. And again, without the time and without the maturity and without going through what you're going through, you're not going to arrive at that.
Yeah, and I think, you know, musically, it was always, I mean, I think he, you know, and like I said, it was more about, let's just do, I mean, we've always done this, right? I mean, we did it in little piecemeal, like we put the violin and string intro on Extraction.
Scott Laird.
Yep, and then we took it a step further for Sanity, and we took it even further for Dimensions. Then we're like, okay, let's be done with this. But it was always, I mean, it wasn't about like doing that or starting a new genre or whatever. It was always about, let's do something totally different. Let's do something weird. I mean, Dimensions, we got really weird. There's stuff on there that we wrote with dice. that we like assigned a note to each number on a dice, and we rolled the dice, and that was the next note. And then we, for the rhythm of it, we assigned a rhythm to each die, and we rolled the dice. And
you're being serious?
I'm being totally serious. Yeah.
Wow.
And
you really are a nerd.
We were.
we didn't Scott's. Mean to interrupt. Didn't mean to interrupt your D&D Scott game Laird. For you right now.
Scott Laird had a lot to do with that too. He's very nerdy. Too,
okay, honest. Gotcha. And I met Scott at the beer thing. Dude, he's rad.
He's awesome.
What a nice dude.
He's great dude.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, and it was, you know, so we always wanted to just, what can we do different? I mean, I can tell you right now, I mean, you know, people will hear this 3 of 5. It's curveball. It's going to be a curveball. Be prepared. Right. But I mean, I think it's, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, we just wanted to just really push ourselves and do something new and creative. And if people like it, great. If people don't like it, it's fine. As long as we like it.
You guys are beyond that at this point. I just don't. I've been a Believer fan since almost day one. I wasn't at any early shows or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been around since 89 when that album came out.
Yeah.
You've gotten a guy who has been on board this entire time that still kind of doesn't know what to expect next.
Good.
And that's like exactly where you want everybody to be.
It's exactly where I want everybody to be.
Right.
It's where everybody should be at this point. At this point, everybody should be there.
Let's take a break. I have to pee. And you just ran out of whiskey.
I know. I got to get some more.
More.
Toxicated.
live?
We're live again.
Beautiful. You got whiskey, you got beer.
Yes.
I like it here. Full of metal and booze.
This is how I live.
If you cut me open, 90% of what falls out is music and alcohol.
So yeah.
It works.
Me too.
Let's timeline Kurt Bachman's life.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, here we go. This is the whole, like, how did it all get started? Now, we were sitting out on your couch.
Yeah.
Kevin and Jeff are here.
Yeah.
They're downstairs. You're making them clean the studio.
Making clean and set up the rehearsal studio.
I can't wait to go down and see that.
Yeah.
I hope they're in maid's outfits.
They should be.
It's going to get hot. It's going to get hot in here. I want to hear that story about your first guitar.
Oh,
yeah. And we have to make it sound organic.
The Charvel. The Charvel. Yeah. So it was interesting because like I had, you know, kind of mid-range quality guitars. At that stage, I was probably, I think I was like 14. No, I was 12.
Oh my God.
And,
do you have any kids?
No.
I'm wrapping my head around this. I have 15-year-old boy, girl twins.
Yeah.
And my son is such a knucklehead 15-year-old kid who just wants to play Madden on his phone with his friends. And
I know.
I'm trying to picture
different
him.
World.
Right? I'm trying to picture him 3 years ago being like, I want a guitar so I can play thrash.
Yeah.
It's laughable to me.
Yeah. So it was interesting because like, so I had a paper route and I used to get tips at like Christmas and at holidays and stuff like that. And so I saved up these, you know, I think I had a paper route since I was like 9 or something. And then so I saved up all this money. I think it was like $500 or something like that. And I had my eye on this this Charvel from Chuck Levin's down in Maryland. And so my mom drove me down there. Had this
wad of cash in Maryland.
Yeah, from PA to Maryland. So I had this wad of cash, right? Yeah, because you couldn't really, you know.
Chuck Levin's
catalog?
Yeah. Literally gawking through the catalog?
You know what? I have no idea.
Okay.
I honestly can't remember.
Because you can pull shit up on your phone now.
Yeah.
But then you
It
couldn't.
Was a catalog, and I don't remember where.
Okay.
You know, I mean, I was playing since I was 5, right? So, like, you know, maybe it was at a music store and I picked it up and
okay.
or some, I don't know. I don't remember actually. Or maybe I got on some weird mailing list or something.
Okay.
So I just remember having this and she drove me down and, it was a Charvel unfinished neck and, I plopped down $500 in cash,
paperboy
wad. Yeah, it was like a bag of money, right? Ones, all the tips, like ones and fives.
Kid's a paperboy or a coke dealer?
Yeah, I don't know. It was so funny, man. So it was good though, and so I bought. That was my first real guitar. Had this like weird checkerboard, you know, thing on it, like illusion type of like paint job.
Okay.
Single humbucker bridge, you know, neck and not neck, bridge humbucker and stuff.
Right.
And that was my first guitar and yeah, I scalped that neck later on, but it was,
over the moon when you picked that thing up. Right?
Oh my gosh. I mean, like I slept with that thing. I mean, that was like, that was my baby. That was everything, you know? And so, yeah, I mean, that's when I started playing Charvel Jackson's, you know, I played Charvel Jackson's most. I mean, I still have, you know, Jackson's and stuff.
I see.
You know, I switched to Fender Strats. I would say during Gabriel, partway through Gabriel, I started switching to Strats. I mean, when I was touring, Yngwie put out a Fender Strat model, an Yngwie, model that had the scallop fretboard. And it was being released to select stores and it was very hard to get, but I didn't even know about it at the time. And I got a call from a place in Virginia, a music store. And they were like, hey Kurt, we know you play, you know, scallop fretboards. We just got one of these in. It's like brand new. They gave us one. It's a very limited edition. And so they're like, you want it? I'm like, yeah, send it to me. So they actually sent it to me at cost and everything. And that's that guy right here. And so, you know, I was like, this is great. I don't have to scallop my own fretboards. I don't have to do anything like that anymore.
Wow.
You know? And for hours, you know, I mean,
right.
The white one behind you is the one I toured with. And that's Sanity guitar. And
this is the Sanity guitar?
Yeah. And I scalloped that one myself. And that was a pain because it's an ebony fretboard. That took me forever to do that guy. But yeah, it's retired.
What goes into scalloping it?
So, I mean, I used to use, you know, like some people use Dremel tools, and that got me a little freaked out. But I actually used like a kneaded eraser, so I'd make like a kneaded eraser in the size of the scallop for the fret, and then I'd just use different grains of sandpaper.
Wow.
Yeah, it took a long time, and that one the fret markers fell out, and I was at this college at this over the summer for this guitar thing, which was crazy, but there some of the students had a guitar repair was okay. Like their what they were kind of majoring in for the summer, so to speak, quote okay. unquote majoring in, and the dudes were like, I'll put all new fret markers in there, I'll scallop them for you, and so they all look great.
Thank you.
Awesome, man. Thank you. Nice. So, yeah.
Look at all the stickers.
I know, the old ones, man.
They just say no to drug sticker. You guys are all...
It's so funny.
I remember all the... Oh, my God. The freaking...
The radioactivity stickers.
The PSA.
Bones.
That weird...
Oh, so that was a... So Roadrunner had a stop... It was Nancy Reagan who started the Stop the Madness campaign, and Roadrunner was part of that campaign. So on all of their records, they put a Stop the Madness thing on, and okay. So they were like, this is great, can you do a PSA, you know, for us for the Stop the Madness tune and stuff like that. So it was all like written for me and stuff, and I mean, that was like a drug tune, that was about drug, line by line, I Watch You Die, you know.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, that was all about that. So yeah, so I did that public service announcement for them. That was pretty funny.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Small world. Okay. So we're jumping all over again.
Yeah.
That's fine. No worries. Sorry. No worries. It's cool. It's not worth editing and trying to put it in a row. It'll never make sense.
Yeah, I know.
But so you got your first guitar and you met Joey Dobbs somewhere.
So yeah, I was playing and Joey, I don't know. You have to ask him. His memory's so much better than mine.
I can't get a hold of him.
He's like an elephant.
His flip phone from 2004.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Falls out of his pocket when he's riding his bike.
And you know.
Right.
So, I can't get rid of him. I'd rather not. You know, it's been a problem.
You can't get a hold of him.
And you can't get rid of him for 30 years. It's been a problem.
I heard you fired him 15 years ago, and he doesn't. He didn't get the message because he can't get texts.
The like a wart. Yeah, so herpes. Yeah, no, he approached me. He was in like the high school band playing trumpet or something like that. He had long hair. Yeah, it was pretty funny. And he approached me. I was in 7th grade, he was in 11th grade, and said, "Yeah, I mean, I heard you play guitar. I heard you're good. You want to play, you know?"
Both went to the same school.
Yeah.
What school is this?
Palmyra Area High School.
Out Lancaster-ish.
Near Hershey. Hershey. Yeah,
near Hershey. Hershey-ish,
yeah.
Gotcha.
And so, so it was, I was like, okay. You know, he played bass at the time. He wasn't a drummer. And there was like a guy, I guess, who played drums. And then one of, you know, who became our friend, who, another guitar player and stuff like, you know, they were all older. You know, I was like this little kid And so, yeah, Joey came to pick me up, and that was it. Yeah, I mean, that was back to the story about my mom letting me go with crazy Joey Dobbs.
Right.
And so we were in various bands with different drummers, different bass players, I mean, different guitar players, singers, stuff like that. Mainly rock, kind of like Maiden. We did a lot of, like, you know, Quiet Riot covers, Saxon.
Right on.
Priest, you know, all the kind of early Priest stuff. And
what Maiden songs?
Oh boy, you're gonna ask me that.
You're right up my alley, man.
Maiden, what Maiden tunes did we play? Dude, I forget. I can't even remember what Priest songs we played. I mean, we did stuff like, gosh, I don't even remember, man. Okay. I just remember it was like Maiden, Priest, Quiet Riot, Ozzy.
Because this is early enough. You were playing some Iron Saxon. Maiden. You were playing some Iron Maiden stuff.
Princess of the Night, Saxon.
Okay, all right. You're playing some Maiden stuff that is out. Before some of the other classic Maiden stuff.
Oh yeah. Oh, this was like Killers and
This is like Paul De'Anno.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh man.
Oh yeah. So
I wouldn't want to see that. Yeah.
I don't know if we played out much. We were like, and we were writing originals and stuff.
Right.
Sorry, drinking.
Never apologize for drinking on my podcast.
Yeah, so you know, and we were kind of like all back and forth, like with like different players and different stuff, and mm-hmm. And then we had a really good drummer, but he was kind of a stoner, you know. He didn't show up for practices and stuff like that. So Joey would sit behind his kit and play, and we wrote a couple originals and recorded a couple. I don't know where those recordings are. I'm sure they're laying around, like pre songs. It was just all instrumental stuff.
Okay.
No vocals. And
wait. Joey would sit by, like, Joey hadn't played drums before.
He hadn't played drums before. He would just sit there and kind of tinker around on the dude's kit, but he didn't really play. We never wrote tunes or anything. This is like when the dude wasn't there.
Okay.
And then that guy bolted, right? And so it was Joey and I, and at the time it was like, you know, it's great that you're a bass player and everything, but, you know, we kind of need drummer. And Joey's like, well, I should just play drums. You know, I tinker around. I'm good. You know, I think I'm good enough. And so, like, there was a friend of his, actually, who had a drum kit and never played it. And Joey, like, traded him, like, some rifle or something, like a gun, for this drum kit. Yeah, I know. It's pretty funny.
So Joey started as a bass player.
Yeah.
And decided to be the drummer for what was to become Believer before he was even officially.
And even doing. I mean, there were times in Believer where there was no opening band and stuff like that, or we were on the road, the opening band couldn't make it or something. And we actually opened for ourselves, where Joey played bass and I played drums.
And you called yourselves Confused Minds.
Confused Minds.
And you braided your hair out the sides of your head.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
And you put your shirts on backwards and
stuff. Yeah, it was pretty great.
I heard stories.
Yeah, we did that. But
bunch of dicks.
Yeah, that was so funny.
Did you draw two paychecks for that?
No.
Oh, that'd be even funnier if you got paid twice.
But it was pretty funny. Yeah, we wrote like a bunch of tunes. It was pretty funny. But yeah, it was. Yeah, so then he started playing drums, and we started writing tunes, original tunes. They were more kind of like, at the time, it was more like power metal, and I wouldn't call it thrash. It was power metal.
Okay.
And
drums are easier to play.
Yeah, exactly. and then
you don't start at thrash.
Exactly.
You graduate into thrash. Yeah.
But then, yeah. I mean, you know, then we had, you know, then Kill 'Em All came out, and that kind of changed us, right? That was like a big deal for us, And you know, we really gravitated to that, and we started getting a lot of the, you know, early thrashier type of stuff. But you know, when Kill 'Em All came out, I think that was like, wow, okay, this is awesome. And we started writing some stuff like that. And we had a song on the demo called In Your Face, which was kind of like, you know, thrashy, and kind of cut our teeth on that stuff.
Okay.
And so I mean, that's kind of where the whole thrash thing started, and it was like, yeah, we need to write some stuff like that, and that eventually led to Extraction,
quote unquote Christian this entire time.
Christian, what do you mean?
Like at the time, you're playing Saxon and Iron Maiden and stuff like that.
Oh yeah.
And then you decided, okay, it's time for us to start writing, and that became Extraction.
Oh, the lyrics, Extraction, lyrically, you mean?
Very, very.
It's biblical. Yeah, biblical. I mean, like we have a lot of the references in there. For right. that. I mean, it was, you know, I think.
Did you guys come up Christian? I guess is what I'm trying to ask.
You mean family wise?
Right, like right, that? Right.
Yeah, I mean, basically, you know, kind of in and out of stuff.
Okay,
you know, what I mean, right. not anything like hardcore.
Right, or, right,
you
know, right.
Nothing like that. I mean, Dave, the other guitar player, I think his father was like a pastor and stuff like
okay.
that. I mean, you know, and he wrote a lot of lyrics and stuff. And I mean, for us, it was material. It was like, it was one of those things, like, you know, we started, like, you know, what are we like you said, like, we're young, like what life experience do we have at that time?
Right.
To, like,
right.
You know, write right. intelligent lyrics and stuff like that. And,
right.
And it was like, you know, some of the Old Testament stuff was pretty brutal. Yeah, you know, it fits
for thrash. Real.
It yeah. fits thrash genre, so mm-hmm. to speak. And so we did a lot of that. You know, we like took different, you know, stories from it and started writing it. And that's where we referenced all of that stuff.
Sure.
You know,
you're mentioning Kill 'Em All. I mean, Four Horsemen
that was a big thing.
It's for only us. Bible references away from being.
No, it's a complete Bible story, right?
Sure.
So that was, right. I mean, honestly, is like, that was pretty much like that was a big influence for us. But mm-hmm. it's funny because like people think of the name Believer. You know, we were called Deceiver first. And then, you know, the Diary of a Madman, you know, came out. You know, it was like Believer, the song Believer. And we're like, that's a great tune. It's like, yeah, it's called.
That's Believer. Where you got it from?
That's where you got the name Believer.
Ozzy Osbourne. How about
yep.
that?
Mr. Osbourne. I mean, I was a big Randy Rhodes head.
Right on. Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
I was
no shame in Randy's game.
Yeah. He was a huge influence.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the biggest in those early days.
Yeah, absolutely. Man, the neoclassical.
He was just phenomenal.
He's a monster.
Yeah.
Total monster.
Phenomenal. I mean, Even when I'm 5'2"?
Even when I'm doubling. I think he could fit in his own guitar case.
Well, yeah. Because even when I'm doubling my tracks, like, I mean, that's all from Randy. I mean, I was doing that way back when because he was doubling everything. And
Yeah.
And that's where, you know, it was a big deal.
Good choice.
That's where the band name came from.
Who'd have thought? I thought you guys were just such Bible thumper youth group kids.
No,
you named that.
No, and again, I think it was, you know, it was one of those things where, you know, people through the years were like, "Well, your name is Believer. Why aren't your lyrics Christian and stuff like that?" And it was like, well, if that's the case, then Lamb of God should be like, you know, should be overtly Christian. Fair. You know, and it was kind of, I think. Right. I think what it was like, it was a weird time in the music industry. There was a lot of, you know, overtly satanic stuff, right? I mean, we were huge fans of Merciful Fate and King Diamond and, you know, Slayer and, you know, Hell Awaits and Upside Down Crosses and Pentagrams and like all this stuff. You know, I mean, I'll never forget when I ordered the Sentence of Death, the First Destruction EP and stuff, you know, and they're all standing there with the upside down. And it was like, yeah, it was like, whatever. You know. But it was, you know, I think what it was that, you know, there was this kind of like image of like thrash and stuff and heavy stuff being very satanic. And and I think, you know, we just weren't. We were like into science. We were into like weird stuff, you know. And so if you weren't overtly satanic, then you were overtly religious, kind of. It was a weird time. And I think, you know, there was, again, business-wise, for companies wanting to market, you know, companies made a ton of money on marketing kind of like that death, satanic, you know, they were selling.
Sure.
You know? So from a business angle, you know, to have something that would be more opposite, you know, was kind of exciting, so to speak. And then I think that I you know, and that was a little bit there in the early days of Roadrunner, but you know, but they, you know, I think they realized that, yeah, this isn't the band to do that with. Like, we weren't the band to kind of be like, we're white metal or whatever,
you right, know, you right, know what right.
I mean? and I think that's where, you know, like you're talking about the post of the Breed Beyond came, you know, that it was more technical. It was more progressive, you know, like they have kind of straight, you know, death metal and thrash. And then you have these guys that are writing more proggy type of stuff.
Nobody like ever called Slayer technical.
Right. And so I think that's why
they were over like, bombastic, but
exactly. Right. I think that's why they're like, okay, we can't do this like satanic and religious metal. You know, it's like, that's not going to work.
Gotcha.
Cause these guys aren't going to uphold that or whatever, you know, that kind of thing. And we, you know, I mean, that's not, I mean, we're not.
Yeah.
And so it was one of those things where I think that's where the whole, you know, let's kind of market a bunch of these bands as really technical, you know, kind of aspect.
And that's all the way up to, we're jumping ahead to Dimensions.
Dimensions was when they, yeah.
Right. Back when you were 18 and you were the youngest guy in the band, you guys made a decision to go kind of spiritual biblical with the lyrics, which brought REX your way, and you guys were marketed into that whole side of it, everything.
Yeah.
Why that decision and not,
well, so REX had, I mean, there was not just Christian bookstore distribution, it was more of a total distribution, right? It wasn't just that,
right?
You know, I don't think we ever had a grasp on what this Christian music industry was or meant or whatever. I mean, we were nominated for certain awards there. It's like, I don't even know anything about it today. Like, I don't know why there is this, right? I mean, I know that there's genre type of industries like country music industry.
Sure.
Because, I mean, I can, you know, marketing and there's a lot of stuff like that. But I mean, I guess, I mean, there is the Christian music industry. I mean, there's people that made a lot of money business off of this, right? We were just never kind of comfortable with any of that. I mean, it was like, you know, well, we're this, we're going to sing about whatever, you know, like Sanity, I think it was on Sanity, right? It was a song about black holes. It was like, you know what I mean? There was like, you know, I want to write a song about a black hole.
Right.
And black hole physics and stuff, you know, and I think, you know, there was like, it was just interesting that, like people were kind of putting, you know, people into these kind of belief buckets in a music, in an entertainment industry, which is belief kind buckets. Of like really weird to me.
Yeah. Right?
You know, and I'm not cutting on anybody. It's like, that's fine if that's what you want to do. I mean, and you know, if that's where you want to go and that's your audience. And we were never like that. You know, I mean, I don't even know if there is a believer audience, so to speak. I mean, mm-hmm. given music, given our lyrics, whatever it may be, you know, we were just kind of in this, in a different, you know, mindset.
Yeah.
And never really comfortable with that. I mean, there were Christian magazines that put out all about us drinking beer all over Europe. We called it the Beer Lever Tour, you know, and it was amazing. And it was like, you know, that was us. And then it came out in the press, and there was like, I mean, we were all going to hell at that point, right? It was like, whatever, like, we don't care. It's fine. You know, who cares what you people, and it was, and I think it was the amount of hypocrisy and judgmental, like, just people. It was like, whoa, like, we don't belong in this. We don't belong in this quote unquote industry or market or whatever. I mean, we never did.
You say you didn't care. Did it hurt?
I didn't care. Not at all. Not at all.
You didn't go home just bullshit. I can't believe.
No, I mean, it was funny because, I mean, I think there was like, there was, you know, there may not necessarily for me. I mean, there was probably like other people, I mean, other fans that were like angered by it, you know, or just people that were angered by the judgment and by all the stuff and the persecution, you know, and, you know, who are you to judge believer type, you know, and stuff like that. You know, I think for us, no, we didn't care. I mean, we were doing our thing, you know. Right. We were, you know, people knew who our influences were. I think the one thing that, you know, I mean, we saw a lot of that market. You know, we would play some festivals, you know, very few, right? But we saw that market. And I think the thing that bothered us the most was that they were just ripping off, you know, like, there'd be like t-shirts about God that looked like Slayer t-shirts.
And dude.
Like, and it was like I
remember them.
We saw a lot of that stuff and we were like, this is just bizarro land. This is bizarro.
The Mega Death logo was written out like Mega Life.
I mean, see,
and the like, Slayer logo was turned to prayer. Do you remember really? That one?
Yeah, I mean, that's probably the one I'm thinking about.
I remember the shirt that said Mega Life Through Prayer, and it was just, from the 1,000-foot level looked like a Megadeth Slayer.
And that's crazy
shirt.
To me. I'm a
and
Slayer I was like, fan.
This is gross.
I'm a Slayer fan. This is like so like lame.
This is hypocrisy.
This is lame. Yeah. Right. And so like for us, it was just kind of like, you know, we're believer. We're not like this. We're not out ripping people off. We're not like, you know, we want to do our own thing. It's our own innovation. And, you know, we're not about this at all.
Right.
And like I said, there were people that would like pick at our shows, these Christian organizations that would pick at our shows. We got like banned from like, you know, certain distribution and stuff like
that. From distribution?
Yeah, from Christian bookstores or whatever. And so, I mean, it was like, whatever. We don't care. We could
because of the not be obviously your album like
because
again
of
this
who
is,
we were
this
because
is
of who we
some are. Dumbass kid in Coopersburg, Pennsylvania, who bought Extraction from Mortality. You guys look like you're supposed to look to fit into the Bible bookstore where I found your cassette tape, but you're talking about your antics out on the road.
What was that? But we
had a beer.
It was like one of these things. Like, I mean, like the whole thing, like what we were doing. I mean, you know, our influences were Creator and Destruction.
Right on.
I mean, that's who we were. You know, that was those were our peers.
Right.
Those were our mentors. Those were our peers after a while. That's who we were. We weren't, you know, we didn't feel like, you know, you mentioned like bands like Vengeance. Like, we didn't feel like we were in that group. We didn't feel like we were in that club ever. No. No, I mean, we didn't want to be in that club. You know what I mean? I mean, that's why, like, you know, when we toured, it was like Bolt Thrower and Sacrifice. They even asked us, like, who do you want to tour with? We're like, we want to tour with Sacrifice. Those guys are awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were, I mean, you know, Forward Determination came out. I was like, this is game changing.
Right.
This is amazing, mm-hmm. right? And we became good friends with those guys. I mean, it was awesome. And it was, that is who we, you know, we didn't tour with anybody that was like in that Christian market.
crisscrossed them at Cornerstone.
That was it. The festival. That was it. Yeah, it was a different thing because we could do what we want. You know, we bought the orchestra. You know, we were trying different things. But that was it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it really, we did not belong.
This is news to me.
Really?
Because because the magazines are going to paint it differently.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, magazines are great. I mean, there's, you know, that's why I like podcasts and stuff where I'm like talking because.
Yeah, dude, let it rip.
It's better now.
I mean, I'm not trying to throw anybody under the bus or shit on anybody.
It's better now.
But let's clear the air.
I don't remember like specifics, but I mean, there were magazines.
I'm trying to destroy the Christian music industry.
Dude, you don't have to worry about that. But we haven't. I mean, that was a long time ago too, right? I mean, I don't keep up with.
Yeah.
That I don't keep up with the different music industries.
Yeah, right? I'm not sure it's a thing anymore. Yeah.
But
it was though.
There was
if you like.
I mean,
you guys fell under the, you know, if you like Slayer and you're tired of going to hell, you should try Believer. Gross, super gross.
Whatever,
to market an album, but
and it was a
thing.
And it was one of those things like we just didn't think about that stuff. Mm. We were just writing tunes. We didn't care. We were just like, who cares?
Right.
Yeah, we were focused on the music. I mean, we still are. Right. I mean, right. We don't care about that type of stuff. Right?
You guys are my hometown homies. I'm proud of that. That's awesome.
Good.
And I just got this weird West Coast vibe.
That's awesome.
Those are the guys, man. I just felt like there was so much showmanship with it.
Not for us.
Nah.
Yeah. No. Nah, I mean,
too cold. We get too much snow out here. Give a shit with it.
That's great. That's awesome. But yeah, I mean, it was a weird time. Not necessarily for us though. Like we really didn't, you know, bother with it. You know, in that sense, we let the people bother with it. We didn't really care. We were writing tunes and stuff. And you know, as far as marketing, we were just like, you know, look, if you guys want to market us a certain way or whatever, you know, that's on you. You know, that's, you know, if it's business, we're not the business savvy kids.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So as far as marketing and stuff, but no magazines. I mean, I was misquoted so much and you know, there would be like these interviews and then it would like, the one I remember, but it wasn't like, I don't remember specifics. I'm not going to, but I remember the overall tone. It came off like I was so massively egotistical and pompous. I mean, like the way it was written, mm-hmm. and the way I was quoted and things like that, it was like, wow, okay. So this is how this Christian person views me. I forget, but it was like, this is how this person views me, and so their bias,
okay,
is going to come into this,
of right? course,
and that's how it's going to be transcribed.
Yay, and journalism. So,
yeah, I mean, like you know, like magazines like Metal Maniacs and stuff like that,
sure.
like Borovoy. I mean, we're still good friends with him, Blabbermouth and stuff.
Oh, right on.
But you know, those are the ones we could trust. That you know, whatever I said or whatever was in the interview, that really came out
okay
nicely,
right?
I never turned away any Christian or Christian magazine interviews or you know, religious slanted magazine interviews or anything like that. I looked at it as press, you know, and that's what we did. We had press lined up for hours, you know, every half hour through 2 days. Joey and I would go to New York, sit in the Roadrunner offices and do press, you know, and you know, any press is good, you know, and so we put that out there. And you know, it was funny. I mean, it was. I think some of the funny stuff for us was like, oh, you know, Believer's playing Milwaukee Metal Fest, and they had dinner with Deicide and Kurt and Glenn Benton, and you know, and there was some, you know, issues and conflict and all
issues.
That stuff. Like you know, trying to paint it like, you know, we were like going to go after each other and like all of this.
Like
stuff.
He brought his pentagram and you brought your Bible.
And, you know, and it was like. Yeah, we had dinner together with like all the Roadrunner people. I think Glenn and I talked about like best way to make scallops and stuff, and we were talking about like stuff like that.
Christian, I mean, way to make scallops.
It was just like
versus a satanic way. Like,
I mean, everybody kind of wanted this story, right?
Yeah, we love the fight.
Yeah,
we love the struggle.
And it was weird, and we never had any of that. I mean, we were good friends with those guys, and it was one time I was on vacation in Florida, and I went to Morrison Studio, and I was just like stopping by to see Burns. And I was like, hey, man, what's going on? And it was like Deicide was in there. Like
Scott Burns.
Yeah.
just flippantly threw that out there. I just stopped by to see Burns.
And they were
no big deal.
Deicide was in there
Scott
like
Burns.
Recording their record. And it was like so great, you know, to see those guys again and
right.
And you know, it was just really weird, man. Mm-hmm. It was really weird about how people kind of wanted to paint like these weird pictures and how certain people should act, and it was strange. Yeah, I mean, our influences were like Kansas and Rush and Yes and all of this stuff, and you know we looked at their lyrics, you know, their lyrics were resonating with us.
What's
and
his name from Kansas?
Carey.
What's his last name?
Livgren.
Yeah. He's. I mean, he's totally like legit. Born again.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. Like Christian artist.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In it's Kansas. Weird.
It's really weird.
So you're
not
allowed to listen to him because Kansas is on the rock radio,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. But I mean, yeah. And so that's, you know, and especially Rush. I mean, they wrote stuff about like the rocket launches. I mean, like really nerdy stuff. Like Neil would write really nerdy.
Neil is straight up and, like professing atheist and writes 90% of their lyrics.
Yeah. And so it's one of those things where, you know, we were just...
What pisses me off, Kurt, is that everybody who was trashing you listened to Rush.
Oh, they listened to everything.
Right. Yeah. So, like, or pick another lane. Everybody had the Slayer album.
Yeah.
Everybody listened to Rush, whose lyrics are written by an atheist. Everybody went home and had sex with their girlfriend.
Yep.
Everybody went home and smoked pot.
This is why we were never...
But shit on you.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Because you were on tour with somebody and had a beer.
Yeah. Oh, look. That's why we never... And you go back to that, did that piss us off? Were we angry about it? No, because we never really associated with that.
Right.
You know what I mean? We were doing our thing. We are who we are. We're not sugarcoating anything. This is us. You know, we're not hiding anything. We're not trying to portray some image that we're not. And, you know, if that pisses people off, fine. It's their problem, not mine, not ours, you know. And that's how we dealt with it. I mean, we never really got into arguments about anything, you know. And
that's refreshing.
And it's like, you know, like I said, it's like, you know, we never really, yeah, we just never felt comfortable with that. And when we didn't want to deal with any of that. I mean,
right.
It was their problem. Who cares? We're going to hang out who we want to hang out with. We're gonna drink what we ever. This is us, guys. Sorry, you know.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, that's fine. You know, you can crucify us or whatever you want to do. Picket our shows, you know, that's fine. We're okay.
Literal
with that.
Picket of shows.
Oh yeah. Yeah. It's awesome.
Sandwich boards and everything.
It was great, especially in Europe.
Europe.
Oh yeah.
I thought for sure it would be here in the South or something.
You know, there wasn't too much in the States. No, I mean, like the Bolt Thrower Sacrifice tour, you know, that was pretty awesome. I mean, that there wasn't a lot of schism there at all. It was mainly in Europe.
No kidding.
A lot of picketing and stuff.
What was your interaction with the picketers? Any?
No, not really. We stayed away from, I mean, we were just going, did the show, you know, stuff like that.
Soundcheck,
no, we didn't.
Setting up.
Yeah,
I mean, right.
Yeah, no, that was it.
Oh, yeah. That's news to me.
And then we were like, it was funny. The one thing that I do remember about Europe, it was, I think, Morbid Angel and, was it Morbid Angel and somebody else? They were playing at a venue that was like a mile away from when we were playing. And we actually rushed through our set.
To go see them.
We just ditched our gear. We were like, you guys pack up. You know what I mean? It was a good set. I mean, people, it wasn't like we were like disappointing fans or anything.
Sure. I know. I get it.
But we were like, look, we got to go on. Let's get on. Let's get this over.
Let's go.
Right?
Let's go.
It was like, we were like, we just like got our coats and like took off to the Morbid Angel show.
Which Morbid Angel album is this?
Oh, dude, I forget. Like, and it was in 92.
This would have been
I forget what.
The Beavis and Butthead era.
Maybe.
Made them big.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah. And it was great because, like, Millie Creator was there and, like, we were talking to him.
Yeah.
And it was really cool. And we were, like, all, like, just sweaty and gross. And we were like, yeah, we just did shit.
Just played. Gotta go.
Yeah. It was pretty funny.
That's cool.
But, yeah, it was cool. It was good.
Right. Where are you now with, this whole overall long, long, winding road of religion and your personal beliefs and stuff like that.
I mean, I'm good.
You're good?
I'm good.
You're at peace.
I am at peace.
What does that mean? I have to put you in a box.
You can put me in a box.
Because listeners want to hear that you fell out of your faith, or you never had faith, or you still
And you know
have
what?
Faith,
that is none of their business. It isn't. I mean, it's like I all I know is that I am sound. And whatever that means to somebody that's listening or whatever, right. They can take what they want. You know what I mean? They can say whatever they want. They can,
right.
But it's mine. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's mine, and I am good. I'm in a good place.
As soon as you walk through the front door, you don't try to change that person,
nope.
And make them into what they are.
Not at all. No, because right, who am I, right?
Right.
Kurt Bachman. Come in, give him a break.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, you know, no, I mean, there's, you know, we're exploring a lot of different things, like, you know, lyrically and psychologically. And,
you are. And the new Your stuff lyrics are and, so yeah. far off the deep end. And I don't mean deep end like he's lost his mind, but I mean, they obviously mean something. And yeah. at the same time, they're so vague, I have no friggin' idea what you're talking about.
I know. And that's,
which is kind of cool.
Purpose.
Kind of
yeah.
cool, because now, you like you said, I can shift a couple pieces around and make it about my father's passing.
Yep.
Or I can make it about this cauliflower soup that I'm going to try.
Exactly.
It fits. It's just
exactly.
adaptable.
And that's what we wanted.
As opposed before, it used yep. to be blah, 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 yep. Romans 8:24.
Well, if you blah, think blah, blah, about blah, it, if you bring it back to
First
religions,
Thessalonians, you know.
If you bring it back to religions, Buddhism or whatever you want, right? Just pick a religion, right?
Yeah.
Everything is vague. Everything is vague. And one person will, like, hear a quote, you know, from a spiritual leader or something like that.
Okay.
And they're going to take it one way.
Yeah.
And the next person standing beside them, they're going to take it a completely different way.
Yeah.
And that's brilliant. Yeah. I mean, that's awesome. And that's the way it should be, right? Mm-hmm. Everything like that, faith, beliefs, that is a very, very personal thing.
Yeah.
Right? You know, and it's like, you know, there's a reason for parables, for, you know, whatever, these quotes and I think that's the way it should be,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's what the individual takes away from it.
There's only one constant we can all agree on: science.
Yes.
1 + 1 = 2.
That's why all this is a simulation.
I love it. It's all we're all in the
Don't
matrix.
Get me started with that.
No, I want to get you started with that.
Aliens and simulation.
No, go on. Let me
Gabriel.
Hear it. No. Let me hear it.
No.
I'm serious.
No, this is like theories that are out there.
And this is not live, so if you don't want this on, I don't give a shit.
No. It's
But
like,
when you said I will be transparent on your podcast,
oh, yeah.
you sent me an
Stuff
alien
I'm into?
You sent me an alien emoji.
Of course.
Let me hear it, dude. Let
what
me
aliens? It. I mean, you know, who knows? I mean, it is one of those things. It's, you know, there's a lot out there that we don't know. I mean, I think the reason
It's all of it we don't yes, know.
Exactly. And I think for us, you know, we will write about you know, like transhuman was a big one. I mean, transhumanism, going beyond human biology, going, you know, into this realm of, you know, you have technology, you know, the technology's power is increasing exponentially, right?
Yeah.
You know, and at some point, yes, technology will be better than biology. It will just be better, right? And it's one of those things where, you know, there's a lot of talk about, you know, artificial intelligence right now. You know, Zuckerberg is putting things out. Elon Musk is warning, you know, like all these stuff.
Yeah.
And it's a reality, and it's going to be a reality. And you know, people have a very hard time with that. Even if there were, like, you know, other planets around suns. I mean, you got to remember, it's like even in our just small, you know, not small, but Milky Way galaxy, which is billions of galaxies, but in our galaxy, there's billions of stars, suns that could have trillions of planets, right? So, you know, is there another, you know, biology out there? Possibly, right? I mean, it's like nobody can sit there and say no,
right?
You know what I mean? And I think it's okay. It's okay to say, you know, I don't know. It's
probably healthy to say.
People have a problem with saying, I don't know.
Right.
I mean, you know, it whether it makes them feel weak or,
yes,
or there's a problem with, you know, self-perception or something like that to say, you know what, I don't know.
Right.
It's a great question, but I don't know.
Because
I don't have the data.
Right.
Can't talk above and beyond data. Right. Data is data. Can only speak to the data.
Right on.
And all the other stuff is like, I don't know. And so, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, but people love to talk beyond data, right? You know, and not that that should, like, you know, come into faith. I think there is something there as far as faith. You know, faith is very important, no matter what it is. Like, faith in your kids are going to do well, and, you know, hopeful, and, you know, and stuff like that, and what, you know, what we're all kind of here for, and that's been around forever, that question.
Right.
And I think there's a reason why people can't say, this is what we're here.
Right.
Because
you don't
learn anything then. Why learn anything? Why go through this?
You've got all the answers already.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like, it's boring. It's boring. Everybody bored. Sitting around just being bored. I know exactly how to live. Okay, great. Yeah, it's boring. And so,
nothing left for me to do but run around and tell everybody else what they're doing wrong.
Well, exactly. And so I think there's a reason for a lot of stuff. But there's a lot of things, like the simulation thing. I mean, we've been talking a lot about simulations and about, you know, the advancement of technology and to, you know, programming and, you know, and how does that fit in with, like, this theory of, you know, a deity and what does that mean? And, you know, glitches in the matrix, so to speak. And,
yeah,
you know, we're getting really close to virtual reality and a lot of this stuff. And I mean, we know that everything we perceive is a chemical reaction, right? There's no colors, right? It's just the way our eyes are putting that into our brains, you know, in the way light reflects off of something. So, like, yeah, colors are, it's an illusion.
Right. As you said that, the sun went behind clouds.
I know.
Yes. Every color in this room changed.
Changed. It's all an illusion. I mean, everything we perceive is an illusion, right? I mean, it's...
Oh, this is fascinating.
You know what I mean? Because it just is. It's not real.
This is your podcast now.
Yeah, right.
You talk. I'm listening. Right.
Reality. What is reality? Is this supposed to be on music and stuff? No, but I mean, I think it's just really cool to, like, start thinking about that stuff. And, but yeah, I mean, these are the kind of conversations we have about lyrics, you know, about what does it mean? Like I said, like Insanity, I forget what song, the song about black hole and, you know, black hole physics. And that was when I was really starting out, and Hawking was coming up with theories and
there's so you're not many, listening, like, to cool Hawking, things. Are you?
Of course.
Dude's brilliant.
Yeah, we listen to everything, you know. It's
right,
like, you
right,
know,
right.
And not that anybody's right, you know, or you're wrong or whatever.
Right.
It's just like theories and, you know, until you get data. You
right.
know? But I think you need those theories to start generating the experiments to get data, right? And I think that's in life, right? We all have hypotheses about how our lives should turn out and what we should do and, you know, and how we should think and how you want to think. And, you know, I always had this kind of, I probably get this from my mom, but I always had this mantra, so to speak, of I never wanted to give anybody a reason to call me an asshole. You can call me an asshole. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But I never wanted to have an overt reason for somebody to call me an asshole. If they're calling me an asshole, that's their problem then. It's not something I did. And I'm okay with it.
Dude.
Because then I don't get angry about it, right?
I'm right there with you. I'm totally cool with somebody not liking me.
Absolutely.
Because I know.
Yep.
That I am not going out of my way to have people not like me.
As long as they didn't cause it. If I cause it, I'm right there apologizing.
Of course.
I am right
there. And you know when it happens too, because it goes against you.
Exactly.
Something clunked and you were like, oh, that's not right. I gotta go fix myself that. Right. Yeah. I don't feel right about that. The way that I said that, that person might have even taken that the wrong way.
Exactly.
I've made those phone calls. Hey, I didn't mean to come across like a jerk. And they're like, no, dude, you were totally cool.
I know.
Okay, good. But I had to go to sleep tonight.
Exactly.
I'm right there with you.
So that's kind of, you know.
Beyond that, if they still think I'm a jerk.
Oh, I don't care.
Later.
I could care less. I'm fine with it. Yeah, I'm fine with it. Yeah.
Right on. We are on the same page. Yeah. Say, hey, everybody, this is Ben.
Hey, everybody, this is Ben.
My dad says, thanks for listening.
My dad says, thanks for listening.
And you should listen next week for part 2 of 2.
And you should listen next week for part 2 of 2.
With Kurt Bachman.
With Kurt Bachman.
Now say, I eat my own boogers.
No.
Okay, fine. Go to bed. We'll be right back.
and clear.
As the Story Grows is a part of Levera Productions.
High five. Follow me on Twitter and Facebook at As the Story Grows and visit the site at asthestorygrows.com. Make sure to subscribe to the show so you don't miss anything. Visit the Bandcamp link in the notes of this show for free cover songs, some free tunes, and merch. If you like what you heard and would like to help, there's a Patreon link on every episode, or you can look for the dollar sign on the website for one-time donations. If you can't afford to donate, that's totally okay. Tell a friend, retweet me, and give me a good rating on iTunes. Send your guest requests and any feedback for the show to asthestorygrows@gmail.com. And thank you so much for listening today.
Yourself, Travis!
As the Story Grows!
We love you. Take care. Bye-bye.